Good to see you all out, and we're so thankful for the rain. If you will join me in the call to worship. Come from the busyness and the business of the day. We come and let go of the ways of the world. Come and turn aside the temptation to do the things that are only done in the shadows. We come to embrace what God offers us, God's presence and unconditional love. Come, however hesitantly, to find refuge and the way to live in Christ's great love.
Good morning again. Morning has broken indeed. Sweet the rain's new fall, sunlit from heaven. Aren't we blessed with that rain?
Join me for the opening scripture, Psalm number 52. It's a psalm by David. I always like to read in my Bible, there's a little note beforehand to tell you a little about it. And this is a psalm by David. And the little note says, the theme of this psalm is the God will judge evil doers, and our anger or sadness about what's going on today must not block our confidence in God's ability to defeat evil. So, why do you boast of evil, you mighty hero? Why do you boast all day long, you who are a disgrace in the eyes of God? You who practice deceit, your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor. You love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word, you deceitful tongue. Surely God will bring you down to everlasting ruin. He will snatch you up and pluck you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear. They will laugh at you, saying, here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth and grew strong by destroying others. But I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. For what you have done, I will always praise you in the presence of your faithful people, and I will hope in your name. For your name is good. And that is a psalm by David. Will you join me in prayer? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together in worship today. We thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word. And we pray that it will accomplish through us the purpose for which you have given it to us, that your word will help us to go out and speak boldly about you to others. Open the eyes of our hearts so that we may see you more clearly every day. We ask that you will be with us, the church congregation, and point us in the direction you want us to go. And please guide us in our own spiritual walk with you. We pray for those who do not know you as their Savior yet. We have lifted up these names of our friends and loved ones today, Lord, knowing that you already have your arms around them and are caring for them. We also know, Lord, that you are aware of all the problems and situations that are going on around the world. We thank you for watching over all of your people. We thank you for continuing to bless us as we hear your word from Larry. And we thank you for his love for you and your church. Amen. Would you join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And let us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. I need to tell you that I'm going to attribute part of this message to Ronnie McBrayer from A Simple Church in Destin, Florida. He's a minister that I follow. Our style is very similar. And he just did a message last week that I thought would relate well to what I wanted to say. So parts of this will be what Ronnie was talking about last week. Steve, if you give me the scripture, Psalm 32. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad. You righteously sing, all you who are upright in heart. That scripture is not a song or a poem, as most psalms are, but it's called a maskil. And a maskil is called a psalm of wisdom and guidance. Today we will talk about wisdom and guidance. If you watched the Rio de Janeiro Olympics several years back, you will surely recognize this. This is Christ the Redeemer statue that sits above the Bay of Rio de Janeiro. It's 124 feet tall. It's 98 feet wide. To give you a little reference point, one of the blades on our windmills is 100 feet. So the spread of his arms is about the length of a windmill blade. And the height is about the first section of how high a windmill goes. If you remember, there's three sections to a windmill. The first bottom section, they're each about 100 feet long. So it's about the height of one section and the width of one blade. It stands on a mountain 2,300 feet high above sea level, overlooking Rio de Janeiro. On February of 2000, we did a work team to Parnaíba do Sul, Brazil. This is about a two-hour drive northwest of Rio de Janeiro. And after the team was over, we came back, and we always schedule a small outing to get to know the area a little better. And we decided we wanted to see this statue. So we asked our driver coming back from Parnaíba if he could take us there. Oh, sure, I've been there several times. Only takes about 15 or 20 minutes to get there. And we can go the net tomorrow, go after lunch. We thought, well, this will be cool. We got a guy we know, we can get right up there and back. And so, yep, tomorrow came, van pulls up. It's not our driver that we had yesterday. And so we're informed that he had a commitment, family commitment that he needed to get to and couldn't make it today. But our driver assured us that he'd been there and knew the way, and no problem, you'll be fine. So in we go. So we drive about 15 or 20 minutes, and we're not there. And so he said, you know, the driver's a little worried, but he seems like he's got it. So we drive another 15 or 20 minutes. And we see him get out of the van and walk to the side of the road and peer out over a cliff. And he's obviously looking for that. So he comes back, jumps in the car, shakes his head, yeah. We think he's seen it. And off we go again for another 15 minutes. We see someone coming the other direction down the road in a car, and he flags them down. And they're talking Portuguese in Brazil. So we don't have a clue what he's saying. But we do see this. We see the driver of the car go that way, the way we're going, and shake his head no. He points the other way and says yes. So we have now spent an hour looking for that, which would be normally 15 to 20 minutes away. 45 minutes back, we see an 8-foot square sign Christo the Redeemer. Yep, there we go. So we're there. We get there. Now the crowds are so heavy there that you only have 20 minutes to get up there, look at the statue, look at the view, and get back, because your transportation is only allowed to stay there 20 minutes and then the police move them out. So we get out of the van, we scurry up to the top where you see those people standing. That's what the view we should have saw. Our hotel, if you look, was in the lower left in that jumble of high-rise building. Yep, where the arrow is. And we're two blocks off of Ipanema. I don't know if you know anything about Rio de Janeiro, but there are five beaches. Each one has a different name. You've heard of the song, The Girl from Ipanema? That's one of the beaches. That's the one we were on. Each beach has its own sidewalk. The sidewalk is about 20 to 30 feet wide and has its own design of tiles for the length of that beach, which is about, 300 yards long. That's what we should have saw. The fog came in just as we got out of the van. By the time I got to the top of the viewing stand, the only thing I could see was Christ's feet. Okay, we got 20 minutes. The fog will surely go out. I mean, this is like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The fog will not stay 20 minutes. The fog stayed 20 minutes. So disappointed, we had to leave, got back in the van, drove our 15 minutes back down to the hotel, looked back up, and there was Christ the Redeemer, clear as a bell. But when the driver had gotten out of the car and asked the other gentleman which way, and pointed there and said, no, we knew you couldn't get there from here. And we didn't. We had to go the other way. Our timeline for the day was all off. The plans were laid out. They were great. They were going to work. The timeline, too many things happened we hadn't expected. When I was a freshman in my sociology class at college, they asked us to do an assignment, and we were to write down what we thought was the timeline for the rest of our life. Easy peasy. I'm 18 years old. I know what's going to happen. I'm going to go to college for 4 years. I'm going to be a high school teacher, history teacher. I'll marry sometime after I get out of college. I'll have two kids by the time I'm 30, get my professional administrator's license, be a superintendent by 40. My parents will die peacefully in their sleep at age 90. I would have no health problems, and my investments would pay off handsomely so that I could retire early. And then the misfortunes of life started coming at me. You know that saying, life is what happens while you're making plans? Yeah. The only thing that came true out of all that was I married a good person. Everything else was different. I picked that song this morning because it just reminds me of the journey of life, of where we all start and where we all go. When it talks about the fields are all four lanes, there was not a single mile of interstate highway laid when I was born. You think about that? All the thousands of miles of interstate that we have put into this country in the last 60, 70 years. How do we navigate all these unforeseen things in life? Rumi was a philosopher from 1,000 years ago. Today, he would probably be writing memes for the internet. But back then, he was being a prophet. And one of his favorite sayings was this: whoever travels without a guide needs 200 years for a two-day journey. Yeah. When we go through our life, we need a guide. We need someone to keep us on the path. Someone who knows more than we do. Someone who can help us when the misfortunes come. But we think we know it all on our journey. On our last work team, we did a side trip to Egypt in which we took a boat trip from the Aswan Dam to the Valley of the Kings. 3 days, 2 nights. We had a guide. Now, you know, if without a guide, to know what he knows, I would have had to have spent the previous 10 years studying nothing but Egyptology and learning the kings and learning who they married and learning the philosophies of how all this came about. But with this guide, every place we stopped, he knew. He told me what was going on. He made it all make sense. We went to the tombs. We went to some of the villages. We learned how they cut the granite with reeds and water. We learned all kinds of things that I would have never known if I'd have just got on the boat, gone down the river, and got off when they told me. He put it all together for us. We have a lot of a guide for the unseen things that happen to us. It is that Bible sitting in front of you in the pew. It is the guide that helps us get through the unforeseen things. Here is our guide. I, God, will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like a horse or a mule, which you have no understanding, but must be controlled by a bit and a bridle, or they will not come to you. You know what a mule is? I'm always confused about what a mule is, but it's a female horse and a male donkey, and that's a mule. It is a blend of the two animals. The blend gives you a really sturdy animal. You get the attributes of both. A horse is smarter, stronger, and more agile. A donkey is more sturdy and patient. The main problem with this is because of the mule's stubbornness. He's too smart for his own darn good. He knows what you're trying to do. You want him to work. You want him to do a lot of things he really doesn't want to do. So a mule decides he's not going to do it. And he's stubborn enough to try and make sure he gets his ways. Who does that remind you of? Anybody you know? Anybody I know? No, surely not. But as humans, we are like the mule. We are a combination of dust and spirit, flesh and soul. A hybrid that God gave us, a free will, that makes us just smart enough to get into trouble, but too stubborn, and we try and resist our own way out of it. We're just smart enough to be stubborn. And yet, we're not smart enough to know what's the best thing to do to get out of that problem. The answer is not to be less stubborn. That's like telling someone to not think about pink gorillas. Whatever you do, do not think about a pink gorilla. What are you thinking about now? What a pink gorilla would look like. We want to tell people to stop being so stubborn when the misfortunes come. We want to tell them how to handle their problem. But that is not the answer. The answer is when trust comes in. Trust in your guide. Trust in the God who gave us the lessons we need. Have a little faith. Give God a chance. But that's easier said than done, you know. I found that a lot of times I have told people, you need to just trust in God. He'll have the answer for you. What that really means, I don't have any more answers for you. I can't solve your problem. I've told you everything I know. There's nothing left. You've tried everything. I've tried everything. So what the heck? Let's trust in God. See how that works out for you. That's what you're really saying. We don't humanly have the answer. So we know that we have to trust in God. The truth is that most of us will not trust in God until we have to, until we must. It's inherent in us. God gave us a brain. We got ourselves in. We might as well be able to get ourselves out. So when we come to that point where we have to come face to face with a situation, a disease, a failed relationship, and an addiction, something that is larger and more persistent than we are. When we come up against that, that is when we learn to yield to God, to let it go, to rest, and to surrender. When we get stuck in life, when we get stranded all on our own, when you can't just get there from here, you have to turn to God. It is the beginning to trust if you're not as stubborn as a mule. We will close with a unison benediction. This is a prayer written by Father Michael Judge. I don't know if that name is familiar to any of you. He was a chaplain for the New York City Fire Department and was the first official casualty of 911 attacks when a stone fell from one of the buildings and killed him while he was praying for the firefighters entering the building. If you can join me, please. Lord, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what you want me to say, and keep me out of your way. Amen. Have a great week. I hope you can get there from here.